Blog Talk Radio. And welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Shanice Tennell, for today, Sunday, April 20th. Happy Easter to you all out there. And we're excited about tonight's show, but before we get to the show, I just want to remind everyone that the call-in number for tonight's show is 914-803-4399. Again, that number is 914-803-4399. Now, if you have a question or a comment, please press the option to speak with the host. Also, you can join us on our tweet chat right along as we're speaking on the show. We're going to be doing a tweet chat, and you can use the hashtag, Beauty Lounge, hashtag Beauty Lounge. And I think Denise has a little beauty news for us, so we're going to turn it over to her.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. I have just a little bit of Fame Expo news. There will be a masterclass featuring Kelly Baker. It's called Raising Brows with Kelly Baker. It's going to be at the Fame Expo on June 29th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. All participants will receive a custom Kelly Baker brows eyebrow kit that's valued at $145 and a two-day VIP pass to the Fame Expo, which will be June 28th and 29th. The cost of the class is $325, and the class will be limited to the first 50 attendees to register. Also, if you are a nail artist or someone who just likes nail art or just, you know, nail technician and interested in competing in a nail art competition, Beauty Talk Radio, which is us, and Lisa Comfort present the launch of the Famous Nails Competition at Fame Expo. This is your opportunity to shine. So we're asking professionals and teens, they're encouraged to enter one or all four of the nail art competitions. And the categories are as follow: soak-off gel salon art design, a selfie one-hand salon art, nail art acrylic and gel competition, and flat art tip box. The deadline for all entries are to be received by Friday, June 20th this year. The division rules will be Division 1 are for first-timers who have never competed. The Division 2 will be for those who have competed but never placed first, second, or third in a competition. And Division 3 are for those who have competed and placed first, second, or third in a competition. And trophies will be awarded to first, second, and third places for all divisions in every competition. Any division that has less than 4 entries will be entered in the next higher division. Division winners are going to be those who compete in a minimum of 3 competitions. Winners are determined by the combination of total points for 3 competitions with the highest points. The team trophy awarded to the team with the most accumulative points earned by the combination of total points in 3 out of 4 competitions. So happy I'm not a judge in any of that. The teams must be a minimum of 3 people and a maximum of 6. The top 3 scores from each team will be added, and the highest collective points wins. The entry fees are $50 for one competition, $150 for all 4 competitions. So for those of you choosing one competition, remember, you cannot place for a trophy if you're just doing one competition. You have to do a minimum of 3. The team entries are free of charge. For more information, you can email famousnails@fameexpo.com. That's spelled P-H-A-M-E-O-U-S-N-A-I-L-S at Fame Expo, which is spelled PHAMEXPO.com. Famous Nails at FameExpo.com. Or you can go check out the website, which is FameExpo.com. And that's it. All right. Thank you very much. Now, tonight's guest, I normally try not to read bios or anything because I'd like our guests to share their story with us. But we're just going to introduce our guests and then jump right in. So welcome to the show, Buntricia Bastian.
Thank you. It's an honor and a privilege to be here.
Oh, thank you so much.
Super.
It's an honor and privilege to have you here as well. We're excited. So we just want to jump right in. So if you can just start by introducing yourself to our listening audience and talk a little bit about how you began your career in makeup.
Well, my name is Buntricia Sophia Garnett Creighton Bastian. A lot of names, been married a couple of times. figure I'm one of those what we call full sense learners. I got to keep doing stuff over and over again before it finally hits home. I have literally been in the industry now for, wow, just thinking about it, I feel so old. I've been in the industry now pretty much about almost 37 years.
Wow.
I started out as a cosmetologist, and I was a director at a cosmetology school in Atlanta, Georgia, education director for Dudley Beauty College in Washington, D.C. I have literally trained tens of thousands of people all over the world. I currently train the staff worldwide at Sandals and Beaches Hotel, and I am an international master educator. So pretty much my Jamaican heritage, I have 40 jobs, always had them, and I have now, after all these years, become the master of nothing. So my goal is to do nothing, be nothing, say nothing. But so far, I have not acquired that as yet, so I'm a nothingness in training.
Well, let me just say, you know, and I'm not just saying this because I actually don't have to say anything at all, but let me just say,
absolutely,
you don't look older than 37 years old. You look fabulous.
Bless your heart. I knew why I loved you girls, I tell you. Y'all are just so kind. If I do look older than that, then all those years of skincare that I've gone and spent my money on, I would have to go and literally blow up a cosmetic counter and ask for all my money back.
Well, all those products worked because you look great.
Thank you.
Now, talk a little bit about what you do for the Sandals Beach Resorts.
Well, Sandals and Beaches worldwide, they are pretty much, it's an all-inclusive hotel,
mm-hmm,
chain. They have Sandals, which is for couples only, and then you have Beaches that are for families. Now, pretty much they are in Jamaica, Turks and Caicos, Antigua, St. Lucia, Barbados, Grenada, Nassau, and also in Exuma. So what I currently did, actually I did a whole month and a half tour. I just got home a couple of days ago. I started, I left from New York, worked there at the IBS. Then I went straight to the Bridal Expo in Kingston at the Pegasus Hotel. And from there I started the Sandals training, then went back to Kingston from Montego Bay, did a live feed, question and answer with Lyric, the Jamaican makeup artist, then literally went back from there to Ocho Rios. From Ocho Rios, I went to, it all runs into each other. Then I went to another Beaches in Baskerville. From there, I went to White House. From there, to Negril. From Negril, I flew into Turks. I stayed in Turks for about 4 or 5 days. Then I flew to Nassau, trained there. Then I went to Exuma, and then flew back to Nassau and came back home to Vegas on the 16th.
Oh, my God.
So what I, on paper, it sounded like it was an awesome idea until I forgot that I literally had to get up every day and actually do this. But because the reflective professional that I think that I am, I actually, as I worked, I got better to basically just reflect on your day from what you did the day before. What should I do different? Where can I cut some time down where I don't lose content and I don't lose integrity? And pretty much right. That's what I do. So at the end of it, exhausted as hell, but I was actually quite smarter, faster. I was like a car, you know. You got faster and stronger as you went. Physically exhausted, but as far on a professional level, I have not been as quick and as fast as I was after having to do the same thing over and over and over again, keeping myself fresh without being bored, because, you know, you could bore yourself. So I was trying very hard not to do that. So what I do, they're a huge destination wedding property, and what I do is train their salon staff for makeup because they have thousands and thousands and thousands of brides every single year that actually fly in from all over the world, and that's where they choose to get married. So I train their staff.
Oh, wow. Now, these are people with no makeup background whatsoever?
Most of them do not have a makeup background whatsoever, you know, because remember, the accessibility of training in a lot of those countries are very, very limited. So even for their cosmetology schools and stuff like that, what happened is that what you end up with is like, say, for example, someone got some training and then they go and they open a school. So irregardless of the content or the quality, that's what you have available to you. So pretty much when you go in, you pretty much have to just erase everything that they know. Actually, you're better off when they know nothing because then there's nothing to erase. You're just building. But when you have to go and tear everything down and wipe everything clean, then it becomes, you know, it's like you're walking backwards up a hill. But for the most part, and then these are the same people, they're the same people literally will work there year after year after year after year. Unfortunately for me, this time I had a lot of new people. But, you know, pretty much it's what you get. So a lot of them know absolutely nothing about makeup. Some of them know, but the ones who do know don't know that much.
Gotcha. And so this was hands-on, like a hands-on training?
The training is just for the staff that does hair and makeup, and it's all hands-on. You know, I would love to say that people can learn just by looking, but what you have is you have four different kinds of learners. You have your audio learner, you have your visual learner, you have your manual learner that actually has to do the skill, and there's always some that are full-sense learners. So sometimes it's not that people are not smart, it's just that they learn differently. And then in that sense, because they learn differently, you find that some things they catch on to right away, and other things it takes a little bit of effort and it takes some practice. But makeup is a skill. And because it's a skill, it's something that you physically have to do, and the more you do it, it's the better you become. So it's a skill, so you have to practice. So pretty much it's not something that someone, because I know a lot of people do online classes, and people pay for online classes, but not everyone can learn like that. Some people physically, all their senses have to be engaged sometimes. Some of them, you have to say it, they have to see it, and they have to do it. And when all these things are happening all at the same time, that's the only time learning takes place. So it's just that different people just learn differently. So that's why it's kind of hard. So when you have to train them, and then they have to keep doing it over and over and over and over again until they get it right.
Right. Wow. So were they quick learners?
Sometimes they are, and some of them you have to pray. Some of them you have to promise that if you just help me with this one, God, I won't do this, 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 and this anymore. And the list gets longer it's like sometimes you get, back when I was doing people's makeup, sometimes, you know, you get some brides that when you see the bride, you're like, you know, if I had just seen her before I said yes, I'd have told them I was booked. You know, because sometimes, you know, you get a pit bull and you got to turn them into a poodle. And it needs a little prayer and a little bit of holding hands and promising that you'll never do certain things again. And that sometimes is the only time it really works. So it's not always what you want, but it's what you have. So you, if you're a professional, you work it out.
Right.
Right. Now, I know you said you went to Exuma in the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
How was that? Because I have a friend whose husband lives in Exuma, and it doesn't sound like it's anything like NASA.
Well, Exuma is... when the property was absolutely strikingly beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But personally for me, I would slit my wrist and bleed out if I was staying there. There's you get to the airport, and when you get to the airport, it tells you baggage claim, and you walk out and you're looking for baggage claim and you're on the street. And then you, you turn back, and then you realize after the fourth time you don't want to look like you're totally a dumb person. Baggage claim was right by the fence.
Oh, wow.
On a cart. So literally, besides the sandals being there, there really isn't anything. There's nowhere to go sightsee. There's nothing to do. So everything is totally on property. The property itself is just breathtakingly gorgeous. I mean, it's like mostly concierge service, you have butler service and all of that. But if you're a person that, you know, you, after 2 days of rest, you want to go find something else to do,
right?
Then you have a problem.
Right. Yeah, that's why I was. That's why I had to ask that question, because I was like, I don't know that there's much there. That's why I was wondering what that was like.
No, if you're thinking of it for a vacation, X that one out. X that one out. See, for me, for a vacation, I don't mind doing absolutely nothing, but
right.
I want to be able that if I decide that I want something to do, I need to be able to have something to do. I think that's why I live in Vegas.
Right.
And where I live, you know, gated, guarded, nice and quiet, but if I feel like I want to do something, there are things to do. And
right.
to me, that's a vacation. Doing exactly. nothing, only if I choose nothing. But if I choose to do something, something needs to be there to do. Otherwise, Houston, we have a problem.
Right. Well, speaking of Vegas, you have coming up on October 26th through the 28th, your Makeup Skills Conference. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Well, the Makeup Skills Conference, what it is, I've been teaching for so long. And then I have literally thousands of people that I have trained, whether it was in cosmetology or something else, because I started out as a cosmetology instructor.
Right.
And the number one thing, they wanted to learn makeup. And a lot of them went to schools and spent a whole lot of money. And then a lot of them pay and go to watch somebody demonstrate makeup. And the number one thing I know from being in the industry for so long is that people need hands-on when they're learning. So I sat down one day. Actually, I was flying in from London, and my flight had two connections because it was the only flight I could get last minute. And after the second leg was delayed and I missed the third leg, I was sitting in the middle of nowhere, literally sitting in the center of a bed in a hotel, and I literally break down into tears. I'm like, okay, I have got to do something different other than this. So I said, you know what? I'm going to do a conference. But it can't be just for people to come and sit and watch, because I do that already at pretty much all of the hair and aesthetic and makeup shows where I actually teach a demonstration class at no cost. I said they need something where people could come and they could do some hands-on, leave with the certificate, but it can't be just me.
I need other masters in other areas. So what I did, I found people that were masters that were actually doing the skill on a day-to-day basis that were educators. Because there's a big difference between someone who is a makeup artist and someone who's an educator, or someone who does the skill and someone who teaches the skill. Because teaching is a skill that has to be taught also.
Right.
So what I decided, I was going to do this makeup skills conference, and I was going to give people an opportunity, because sometimes you go and you take these expensive classes, and then you realize one-third through the class, I don't want to do this. But if you already invested $15,000, and then you decided, okay, too late, I'm here, I spent my money, let me do it. So the Makeup Skills Conference, all I did was get masters in different specific areas of different skills that have something to do with makeup, brought them all under one roof for 3 days, and all the attendees that come, they get to choose the classes that they want to be certified in. So then there is there's makeup. So then, of course, there's like bridal makeup, HD makeup. We have photography. We have television. Then we have airbrushing, which is a huge service that brides are asking for all the time. We have body art and face painting, which is something we're introducing to people who normally don't know anything about it. We have brow threading, and we have lash fusion. So, and of course, we have, my sister is a contracts lawyer from out of Washington, D.C., and what she does, she comes in and she teaches contract law. So not only are they learning the skill of makeup, but we teach them about the business of makeup, why you should have a contract when you deal with anyone, why you should have a model release if you're gonna join forces with a hairstylist, and you join forces with a photographer and a model, why you should have joint venture releases so that everybody have accessibility to use the image and it doesn't belong to just one person. So we teach them all those things, plus we teach them business. And this year the conference is October 26th through the 28th. It's at the Vidara Hotel, and it's $1,595, and we included the hotel, the three-night stay at the Vidara this year. So basically all they have to do is get their airline ticket. If they live in Vegas, we usually give them a discount if they don't need a hotel. And one of the best things is that they bring absolutely nothing but themselves. You bring
no
makeup, no brushes, nothing. What I do, because I am a stickler for people learning the right way, so we provide all the materials at the conference for them to use. This way, when the master educator does something, you could turn around and duplicate it right away. You have the proper tools, and you could go about taking care of your business. So it's not about you bringing your own stuff. It's not about owning stuff. It's about learning the right way, how to do a skill, and every last skill is certified.
Wow, that's awesome.
Thank you.
That's awesome. I mean, and you just said they have three-night hotel included in that $1,595 price, right?
Yes. We included the hotel in the price. And then basically all they have to do is, I think the resort fee is the only thing that we don't pay, because we can't pay the resort fee in advance. So when they come, I think the resort fee is like $25. That they have to pay to the hotel. It's mandatory. Even I have to pay a resort fee, and that's the way it is. But the hotel, the taxes for the room, all of that is covered, and all the material is provided.
Wow. And now, I don't remember hearing, but is it limited to a certain number of students?
Yes, because it's a hands-on conference, we literally can't take more than, I think, two. I think the total we top off at is, I think, 280. There are five classes, and then the conference is divided by the amount of people. And then in each class, for example, I'll teach a class, but in my class I have like six or seven or eight assistants in my class. So when it comes time for them to pair up, see, and that's another thing, we have them work on each other. The reason why I do that, because then I'm only teaching really half of them at any given time. So then they can get more undivided attention. So if there's, say, for example, say 60 people in the class, I'm really only helping 30 at one time, because the next one is a model. that.
Right.
Then you learn to work on real people. So we don't get 14-year-old models that have the most perfect cheekbones, and
right.
then she looks like, you know, she's manna from heaven, and oh, my God, she's so gorgeous, you really don't need to do anything to her. For example, my assistant is 60 years old, and when I travel anywhere and I'm teaching, I throw her in the chair in a heartbeat. They're like, mm-hmm. you never pick models. I'm like, no, because I'm teaching you skill. You
that's
should
right.
like anybody, anyone that sit in your chair, they should leave your chair better than they came.
Yep.
Whether she have noses wide, whether she has no cheekbones, whether the facial shape is not the optimum shape, whether the person has lines and different things that have to be addressed, 99% of the people that you're ever going to work on is not going to be celebrities. It's going to be regular, everyday women that have regular, everyday issues that needs to be addressed.
Right.
And right. and pretty much if you don't know how to fix her, then you're going to starve to death.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the thing about it is even when you do work on celebrities, sometimes the skin is not always perfect.
Well,
so,
their skin is not going to be perfect because they whether people believe it or not, they're regular people. But then
right.
the hours that they keep and the amount of flying that they do,
mm-hmm.
and then they don't get to eat like they should.
Mm-hmm.
And first and most important, they're a human being. So they didn't come in a box and then they got unwrapped and they put on a shelf. They're real everyday people. And everyday issues that you have to deal with. So pretty
right.
much you have to know. See, makeup, what I tell people all the time, there are two different kinds of people. There are people who own a lot of makeup, and there are people that are makeup artists. A makeup
mm-hmm.
artist, the word artist, means that your job is to make sure that when they sit in your chair, you have to figure out, do I have to correct or do I have to enhance? Or do I have to correct and enhance? And those are the different issues that you have to face. So when you look at her, you should know exactly what you're going to do when she's sitting in the chair before you even touch her.
Right.
Because some people have wide-set eyes. Some people have close-set eyes. Most of us don't have an optimum facial shape, which is an oval shape. And even when someone have an oval-shaped face, they still have because there's a difference between your facial shape and your facial features. Your features are the things now that are set within that face. Like, what do your brows look like? Are your brows going downward? Is gravity working against you? And now your brows used to be nice and up top, and now they're kind of trying to kiss the corner of your eyes. What
mm-hmm.
kind of eyes does the lady have? Are eyes inset? Are they wide set? Are they close set? Are they hooded eyes? Those are the things that you have to address. Then you have to go to now zone two. Zone two, you're dealing with eyes and her nose. Is her nose too wide? Is her nose too long? Is her nose too short? Then your final zone is the lips and the chin. You see, so even within the perfect facial shape, you still have to go within that shape and fix features, which is what a lot of people don't realize. So you can't
right.
put the same highlights and lowlights. You can't put the same contour on every single facial shape because contouring is the process of either lightening or darkening. So you're actually trying to not just enhance, but you also have to correct the features. So if you put the same thing on every, it's like somebody saying that one size fits all. Now, anybody
right.
who's more than a size two know that that's not the case because I still have not been able to fit a one size fits all outfit yet. And I've tried.
Oh gosh. Yes. Now, can you just I know you just said a lot in like the past 10 seconds. But
mm-hmm.
can you just repeat that part about not doing the same highlighting and contouring on every facial shape because that drives me crazy.
It's really a pet peeve of mine in the sense that the last time I checked, there were seven facial shapes. So with there being seven facial shapes, let's take, for example, someone with a heart-shaped face. Someone with a heart-shaped face has this humongously wide forehead. Their cheekbones are not as wide as their forehead, and then they have this long, pointed chin. Now, I have seen several makeup artists doing it, and actually some of them are celebrity artists as well, where what they will do, they will go in and they put highlights on every single person's chin. What you're inadvertently doing is that you're making the lady's chin longer and pointier. For example, when the woman has a square-shaped face, her face is square, so that means she has very strong jawline. Her jawline features are extremely strong. It's really, really easy for her to look like a guy because with those features, that's usually what men, the features that men have. So she has a strong forehead, but she also has a strong jawline. And then I see all of them do it. They highlight right under, they highlight the cheekbones, which is perfectly fine because everybody could use their cheekbones being a little higher. But then what they do, they darken the hollows of the cheek, but then they go and they highlight the jawline. Now, why are you highlighting her jawline when all you're going to do is to make her jawline even more pronounced? Anything that you lighten you're enhancing it, or you actually pushing it further apart, anything that you darken is going to either make it diminish or it pulls things close together. So a lot of people don't realize highlighting and low lighting does two things. When you highlight, it's to either put a lot of emphasis or attention to something, or when you want to make something appear that is further away from it, from each other than it really is. And when you darken it or you put low lights, it's the process of either making it look like it's less or when you want to pull eyes closer together. For example, let's say someone have wide-set eyes. Now, someone who a lot of people know right off the bat with wide-set eyes is a singer, Brandy. Her eyes are wide-set. Now, how do you determine whether somebody's eyes are wide or they're close-set or they're properly proportioned? If you take your own finger and put it right at the corner of your inner eye and put the other finger right at the corner of the other extreme corner of your outer eye, and if you take that same and move it to the center, and if that finger touches both insides of your eye, then it's properly proportioned. So inadvertently, you have to be able to sit one of your own eye in between your two eyes, and then you know that your eyes are properly proportioned. If they're not, when you even do her eyeshadow, you have to keep even that in mind. Because if you put the eyeshadow, and say, for example, on the singer Brandy, if you put the darker color of her eyeshadow on the outside corners of her eyes, you're actually pushing her eyes further apart. You have to put the darker color on the inside, and that automatically will give the illusion that the eyes are pulled closer together than they really are. So even the way, even where you place eyeshadow will actually help with your contouring process.
Right.
So you just can't put the same thing on every single person because not every single person have the same need. Some people's forehead are perfectly fine, so they don't need all of that extra stuff. So it depends on what the features are within the facial shape that you have to correct. And that is something that's a pet peeve of mine, that I make sure that people understand, that you can't put the same thing on every single person, because then what are you doing? So the lady started out looking younger, and by the time you finish piling on all that stuff and putting things in the wrong place, you actually aged her instead of taking years away from her.
Right. Right. What do you think, Buntricia, what do you think makes a great makeup artist?
One of the first things, when I look for people to work with me, one of the first things that I look for is whether or not I like you. I gotta like you. Because success really is not determined upon skill. Success is about communication. People have to like you. Because I've seen some of the worst artists and hairstylists, and they have such loyal clients. They respect people's time. So the first thing is when I tell you, well, your appointment is 6 o'clock, I don't mean when you come at 6 o'clock, I have six other people ahead of you. No, 6 o'clock. So first of all, it's respect. So what makes an awesome makeup artist is that you have to respect people and their time. The next thing that makes an awesome makeup artist is your ability to be flexible. Do you take criticism? When someone sits in your chair and the lady said, I don't want red lipstick, why are you going to force red lipstick on her? When you need to listen to when people tell you what they want. Now, don't get me wrong. 99% of the time, a lot of people ask me for things that they really should not get. So what I will do, I ask them nicely, can I put this on, can I give you what you want on one side and give you what I think you should have on the other side, and then you decide. But what I think make an awesome makeup artist, the number one thing is that they have to be humble. You have to be a humble person. You can never, ever be more important than the way you make your living. What I mean by that, for example, my mom bought a brand new Jaguar, and my mother, she sells clothes at the flea market in New York. Now, the van that she usually takes the clothes into the flea market, the van was giving her some trouble, so she piled up all her stuff, put it in her car, and she drove it to the flea market. Now, my aunts came, and they're like, they said, Patsy, are you crazy? Why would you put this stuff in your nice car? And what she said to them is, the car cannot be more important than the way the car gets paid for. When you're an artist, you cannot forget how you pay your bills. You pay your bills by the clients that you have. You have to respect them. For example, a lot of makeup artists now are on Instagram. Now, as you're on Instagram and then people start following you, when people follow you, do you follow them back? When they comment, do you respond? When they ask you a question, do you answer it? Those are the things that I think makes an awesome artist. It's not one thing. It's a total package. You have to, and then at the same time, you need to learn the right skill, and then you need to practice the skill. So it's really like a package deal. But the thing that's the most important is the fact that, is this person humble? Because no matter where you are in life, you still have to be humble. Your business is made by people, and they could actually make you or break you. And really, I could go on and on and on about this, because this is how passionate I am about when people come to me and say, Ms. B, you know, can you hire me? And I'm like, I have to like you first, because I have to make sure, because there's absolutely nothing you need to know that I can't teach you, but I can't teach me to like you.
Right, right. Absolutely. So speaking of Instagram, do you think makeup artists are benefiting from social media, or do you think it hurts them in a way? Or do you think it hurts themselves on social media?
I just really got on social media last year when I was planning my first conference in Vegas. I realized that I was not social media. So how do I reach the people that I want to teach? Now, I teach at pretty much all of the shows, and I taught tens of thousands of people over the years. But like everybody else, I never kept records. I never stored emails. I didn't store phone numbers. I have my little black books here somewhere, and then I gave people my information. So I figure if they need me, they can call me. I'm always available. My number don't change. They can always find me. But when it was time for me to find them, there was a problem. So then I started on Facebook, and I started putting up some stuff. But this is what has happened to our industry. The people that you're trying to reach only now communicate through social media.
Right.
It's the only way they communicate. Now, if you don't text, then you don't get a response. So that is how they now communicate. So the dinosaurs like myself, who's been in the industry for a minute, if we don't make the adjustments, we find that people who are not as skilled as we are going to get all of the attention because we neglected to go on social media. So
right.
What I did was I started on Facebook. I think now I have close to about 10,000 likes, but I wasn't even driving people to my page, because to me, I didn't make my money through social media. I made my money through people. But now when I was trying to do something as big as the conference was in Vegas, I needed to reach people, and I needed to reach them quickly. See, and I think that's the difference. You need to reach them quickly. Now, as far as Instagram, my assistant had signed me up for Instagram, I think, last year, but I never went on Instagram. But then I went to Nigeria in January, and when I went there, the ladies, they were all so just awesome. Oh, my God. The majesty and the colors and everything was so awesome. But I wanted a way to communicate with them where, because our time difference, because I have a 9-hour time difference from them, I live in Vegas, I wanted a way to communicate with them where it wouldn't cost me a lot of money, it wouldn't cost them a lot of money, but I could see their images other than them emailing stuff to me all the time. And my assistant said, "But Trisha, why don't you go on Instagram?" So when I went on there, I already had a page, and then within the last, let me see, about less than 8 weeks that I've been on, I have literally a nice following build up, and I find that I reach a lot of people. They have legitimate questions that they're asking. I answer every single comment that I get. I follow everyone that follows me. Now, the only people I don't follow, if I click on and your page is private, I can't do anything about that.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Then if I click on your page and I see some crazy stuff, then I don't want to be associated with that. But other than that, if you're a makeup artist or you love makeup, or if you're a hairstylist, and if people who are selling shoes or clothes or whatever, I will support them and I will follow them. Social media is awesome, because then if you're doing it the right way, it will benefit you every single time. But you have to do it the right way. And it's actually pretty much almost like a full-time job.
Oh, yeah,
I answer every email. I answer every Twitter. I answer everything. The only one I don't like is Twitter, because, you know, I hate counting my letters. I'm too old to count letters. Really. So, yeah, I'm too old to count letters. So I don't like that Twitter thing. But Instagram, Facebook, and anyone could email me at any time. People like, you answer them yourself? Absolutely. Do you answer your phone yourself? Absolutely.
Yes, she does.
Oprah Winfrey is a billionaire, and she reads every email. She reads every email. They tell me, but Patricia, it's only because you're new to social media why you say this. This is who I am. I respond to every single person because every single person matter.
Right.
But social media is awesome if you're using it the right way. If you're using it correctly, it's an awesome tool. You reach a whole lot of people very, very, very quickly. And when they ask you questions, granted, sometimes I wish I wasn't on social media, because I have gotten emails that literally make me cry at least 2-3 times a day. The stories that they tell you and the things that's happening to them. And they don't want anything from you. They just want someone to listen. They just want to send a picture. They just want to ask you, am I going in the right direction? Should I still be a makeup artist? Do you think that I should still be doing this? Because my family says I'm wasting my time and I should be doing something else. Should I keep doing this? And that's the kind of stuff and the kind of people that I meet every single day on social media. So for me, I think it's a positive thing, especially when, you know, I'm not using it, you know, to rip my own self apart. But at the end of the day, I find that a lot of people just want a little bit of guidance. It's like I tell them on Instagram, the reason I'm on social media is to encourage and to inspire. And if I could save just one, then pretty much I've done my job.
Absolutely. Nice. So let's talk about makeup in Nigeria. I know that's coming up on April 30th. And exactly what are you going to speak to the makeup artists about? And talk a little bit about, because I know you've traveled to Nigeria before, talk a little bit about what differences do you see there than you see with the makeup artists here, or are there any differences at all?
A lot of things are the same, but the energy and the seriousness of makeup is like 100 times more intense in Nigeria than it is in the United States. For example, fashion and hair and makeup is huge. I mean, it is just huge. They have no restrictions when it comes to color. There's absolutely nothing that they won't put together. There's absolutely no colors that's too bright, that's too vibrant, that's too vivid. There is no such thing. And then the canvas you're dealing with is just absolutely beautiful black women. So everything just explodes off of the skin. They're not afraid to take chances. But most important, what I realized when I did my conference in Nigeria is that the women in Nigeria were all entrepreneurs. They did makeup and they sold makeup. See, there's a little stigma here in this country, especially with a lot of my sisters, is that they think that selling is beneath them. Now, all of the independently wealthy people sold something. Bill Gates sold something. Oprah Winfrey. Every last one of them is selling something. All of these makeup artists, they were not just artists. They were people in business. They sell makeup. Irregardless of the brand or how much it costs, even if I don't think the makeup is that fabulous, I encourage them because if they do it, they sell it.
Yep.
If they put a lipstick on you, they can sell you the lipstick. And that is one of my pet peeves with my sisters here. Whether they're black, white, Asian, it doesn't matter. They're big into running into the store and buying a whole bunch of stuff instead of realizing that they can make this into a business.
Right.
That is what is the biggest difference between the women in Nigeria and the women in the United States. And I've pretty much gone to pretty much just about every state in this country, and I've met pretty much makeup artists from everywhere. And the pet peeve is that they will not sell. While the women in Nigeria, pretty much 90% of them is selling makeup.
Yeah, because they all have their own makeup lines.
Even if they don't have, because the thing is, especially in Nigeria, it's not that they have their own makeup line, because it is not as private label, is not as accessible to them as the branded stuff. So whether it's Avon or Mary Kay or the couple of the others I see them have, you name it, they sell it. You name it, Milani, you name it, they sell it. Regardless of the brand, they're selling something. And that in itself, it's a plus, because then you're not just doing makeup. See, they don't forget. See, a lot of the artists and hairstylists in this country, is that what they forget is that they're in business. See, for them, it's the business of makeup.
Right.
So it's not that they're extremely creative, but see, we sometimes forget that put creativity to the side for a moment, but you're in the makeup business. See, I'm in the makeup business. I am in business. So it's not just about drawing lines. It's about making sure that you can feed your family and then you get from point A to point B. So pretty much the next step they make is that they have their own little makeup studio, and pretty much all of them end up teaching at some point. Because that's the other segment, is that I don't know one single makeup artist that has left anybody and they're rich.
Right.
I don't know one. I don't care who the celebrity is. I don't see one makeup artist left them, and when they left from doing makeup, from doing a celebrity's face, they retired rich.
Right.
I don't know one. If somebody know one, please email me at buntricia@yahoo.com and send me the stats, send me the pictures, send me everything. I don't know one. I don't know one single solitary one. But if when you decided that you were going to become a makeup artist. And the next thing you did, you went and you found some private label. I don't care who's – everybody started that private label.
Right.
That's how the Mac started. That's how all of them started.
Right. Exactly.
That's how they all start. But you're going to have to brand yourself. Sell something. Donald Trump sells something. Bill Gates sells something. Oprah sells something. But you have to sell. And that was one of the biggest difference that I saw from those women to the women in the United States, is that they were in business.
Wow.
They were in business. Big, big difference. Now, the Makeup in Nigeria conference, actually, it's sponsored by the House of Tara. So
yes.
Tara is, she owns like an indigenous, the first indigenous makeup line in Nigeria. And actually, I was invited to Nigeria in January by someone else other than her.
Mm-hmm.
I met one young lady that worked for her maybe about 2 years ago. And she
mm-hmm.
came to one of my classes at the show in Vegas. And then I asked her about coming to Nigeria, but I didn't hear anything else from her. Then another one of my clients that we manufacture their cosmetics came, and when I told him, when he knew that I taught, he said, "You know what, I would love for you to come to Nigeria." So we did. We ran the numbers and did some stuff, and we decided that we were going to do the Makeup Skills Conference in Lagos, Nigeria. We had it at the Sheraton Hotel
mm-hmm.
in Lagos. And at first, we started out with quite a bit more, and then the numbers got less and less and less because a couple people were trying to discourage them from coming.
Mm-hmm.
And so by the time I went there, I think I had about 70 women. It was extremely expensive because I took staff and all of that. But I said, you know what? I said I'm going, so I went. And
mm-hmm.
it was fabulous. I don't regret it a moment. Then what I did, I told them that I'll be coming back in November to do a 4-day boot camp class, and then pretty much every single person that was in that class signed up. Now, the Makeup in Nigeria conference is the very first one that they're actually going to have.
Right.
And I fly in on the – I leave on the 28th. I get there on the 29th because it's an 18-hour flight from Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And I get there on the 29th. The conference is the 30th, and I leave on the 1st. Then
mm-hmm.
I end up in Paris somewhere. I think I'm there for pretty much almost a day. And
mm-hmm.
then I fly straight from Paris to New York for the New York Makeup Show.
Okay. Okay.
But pretty much they invited me to be the international keynote speaker. And I think I'm supposed to be doing – it was supposed to be demoing once, and I think it
mm-hmm.
then turned into twice or three times because I think they gave them the option. They gave them the option of registering for the speaker that they wanted to see. And I
right.
think the numbers are just too many. So I think it's supposed to be between 500 and 700 makeup artists.
Oh, wow.
That's supposed to be coming.
Because I know that there was something that they were, I can't remember. I think they could, like, choose, like you said, like the speakers they wanted to see. And then
exactly.
I think, yeah, and then Maybelline, I believe, is now sponsoring something, so it's, like, free.
They have I think it's the president of, like, the Maybelline division in
uh-huh.
Africa. He's
uh-huh.
going to be, like, one of the keynote speakers, Dr. Forgot what his name is. So he's going to be there. And then at first I think they were charging them to come to the master. They say it's a master class, but it's not a master class. It's a demo. But at first I was just supposed to do one, and then all of a sudden I heard they sent me an itinerary, and I smiled to myself. And I'm like, okay, so they're going to make sure they get all their money's worth out of me from I get there, from I till I get there to when I leave.
Right.
So then, I think I have like two sessions, and then my day starts out pretty much around 8 o'clock in the morning, and I think the show goes all the way to like 8 o'clock at night. So, it's going to be exciting. I can't wait. It's utterly and totally exciting. I'm supposed to be going back in November to teach my makeup skills conference again, and then I also have a four-day boot camp class where it's just focused makeup. I'm just taking maybe about 50 women, and we're teaching them for 4 days solid on just real heavy-duty, let's get down and dirty makeup artistry, all of the classes, and then we're going to have this huge magazine photo shoot on the fourth day. And I think it's just going to be awesome. I'm so excited, and I can't wait.
That sounds great. Great, great, great. It seems like you have a busy, well, you've had a busy year so far, and it's only April, but you have quite a bit left to do this year.
Oh, yeah. I also have, let me see. I'm home now. Today is what, the 20th, so I'm home. I leave 7 days from now to Nigeria. Then
right.
I leave Nigeria, go straight to New York. Then I come home. The following week, I have my only class that I have for the whole year is my boot camp makeup class that I have at home. I only take 10 people at this class. Everyone stays at my house. My husband pretty much is a chef. So he makes them breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and they all sleep here. I pick them up from the airport, and we keep them prisoner for 3 days. And I do that on purpose so they stay focused.
Right.
Trust me, but I beat them up. I ride them like a borrowed mule. And pretty much at the end of the 3 days, they're good to go. Then the week after that, so I leave. That class is the 11th, 12th, and 13th. It's actually on Mother's Day.
Oh, okay.
First day is Mother's Day. I do that every year because they say, well, but it's Mother's Day. I said, well, what better gift your family is supposed to give you than for you to come and learn? Hello, aren't you tired of the same ugly sweaters?
Right.
Come to my class instead. They're only going to bring you some breakfast. They're going to take you out to dinner. You're going to have to wait all day because the restaurants are packed.
Right.
And they're going to give you the same ugly sweater. So instead, come here, eat good. I might take you to a show on the strip when the Cirque shows. You'll have a fabulous time. So I take only 10 people. Then few days after that, I leave for Jamaica because I have the Makeup Skills Conference also in Jamaica at the Kingston Pegasus Hotel.
Okay.
And after that, I come back to Orlando. So I pretty much am booked every single – I had two weeks off. And they called me from Ghana and asked me, they said, Bontricia, we took the liberty of already signing up 50 women. Can you come to Ghana? So I gave them the schedule I had, what time I had left, which is, I think, August 18th through a few days in the beginning of September. And they're finding the venue. So I'm supposed to be going to Ghana this year as well.
Wow. Well, let me ask you, Bontricia, your boot camp, do you already have your 10 people?
Yep.
Okay.
Pretty much.
Okay.
I can only, so usually I'll get those from sometimes the year before.
Okay.
With my schedule, it's pretty much all the time that I have left. And I still have sandals training. I have 3 properties left to do that I'm doing. I'm leaving home, I think, July 30th all the way till almost the middle of August. I still have to do Grenada. I have to do St. Lucia, and I have to do Antigua.
Wow.
Now, do you get to take your husband on some of these trips?
He used to come once in a while. He used to come. But then, you know, after you've seen Sand, Saltwater,
right,
and Sun, you've seen them all.
Right,
I was born on the island of Jamaica. I've seen enough saltwater, sand, and sun to last me a lifetime. But people say, oh, my God, this must be just so fabulous. The most fabulous part is that I work for myself. But other than that, I don't have the luxury, though, of calling in sick.
Yeah.
There's some days that I just want to just say, you know what? I don't want to show up today, but I don't have that luxury. So I put my big girl panties on, and I put on a little extra makeup that day because you got to hide the fact that you really wanted to sleep instead of being here. But my husband traveled with me a lot, but he had a knee replacement surgery the other day. So he's recuperating. And then he realized, too, that traveling with me pretty much was no fun. Because I got up early. I start training at 9. So I get up. I'm not a morning person, so I have to get up extra early because I don't want to. So I get up around 6. And then by the time I'm finished training, and then, you know, the workhorse that I am, even though the training is supposed to end at 4, I always have some that's a little slower, so I kind of let them finish. Then by the time I'm done and it's about 5, 6 o'clock, I am spent. I'm already up 12 hours.
Right.
So so pretty much it's a wrap. You know, so what I'll do whenever I go into certain cities, I'll go into the cities a few days before I actually have to start working. And then I'll shop and do, but other than that, when I work, there is no play time. It's just we start working, and people don't know that till they travel with us and they realize, oh, my God, you guys really work hard. Yes, we do.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Now, you said you were going to be in Orlando. Are you going to be a premiere for all 3 days?
The premiere, I'm not teaching at the show for premiere. We're actually just presenting there, and pretty much that's it. And then I'm there for all of the days, and then I think I go back. And each time I end up going back home to Vegas and then going back on my next trip again. So I'm there, and then I go. That's pretty much my life right now. And I'm booked all the way until almost Thanksgiving.
Wow.
And then I usually take all of – once upon a time, I used to take off all of December, January, and February. But now I do – I'm doing Nigeria again in January, and then I do London in February. Then next year – I am actually going to have the makeup conference in about at least 8 different locations. So right now we're actually looking for a place in Dubai. So we're having it in Dubai. We're having it in London. We're having it in Canada. I am going to have the makeup conference in Atlanta, New York, Chicago, Dallas, Vegas. Almost forgot Vegas. And then, of course, I'm still going to do Jamaica. Oh, and I'm also doing Ghana, and I'm doing Trinidad. And then, of course, I have Nigeria. So I'm pretty much past 10. So pretty much that's what I'm going to be doing next year. And I think even with that schedule, even sandals and beaches, I don't know if I'm going to be able to even do that next year.
Oh, wow. Wow. And you said Canada. Where in Canada?
Well, I'm thinking of maybe Toronto.
Okay.
And then they can just come, whoever could just come to Toronto from, they could just come to Toronto from different places in Canada.
Right.
Even though my conference in Vegas, I had people from over 20 different countries last year. And so far we have people signed up from maybe about 12 different countries. So they still come from different – I have people coming from London. I have Scotland. I have – where is it? One girl's coming from Spain. I have Paris. I have people coming from Nigeria. I have people from Trinidad. I have people from Barbados. I have people from Jamaica. I have Scotland. I have it's about either 12 to 14 different countries already registered for the conference.
Okay. Nice.
I have no clue starting out I'd even be doing this.
Right.
No clue. I was working in the garment industry in New York, and I worked for the designer. And every day I used to stop at Duane Reade, you know, I used to buy my little makeup, make sure I had my little makeup on. I'm sure half the time it wasn't even right. But I always looked like a makeup. I tell people all the time, I always looked like a makeup artist. So
right.
It's not just a matter of just wanting to be one. You have to start living it. You have to start acting as if it's already yours. So I didn't intend to even do makeup, but one day he saw me, and he said, Bonjour, who does your makeup? I said, me. He said, well, you know, my friends and I do makeup. You want to come and help us? I'm like, sure. So I went with him to Soho, and when I walked in and I saw all of the men in drag, after I picked up my mouth from off the floor and put it back on my face, the hair and the clothing and the jewelry and the makeup. And I just went with him a couple times, and then one thing led to another, and he recommended me for stuff. I did that. And then pretty much that's how it actually even started. So it wasn't planned. I didn't wake up one day like, oh, my God, I want to be this makeup artist. And see, makeup is not even my passion. Education.
Right.
Education. Teaching is my passion. Makeup is only my skill. So teaching is my passion. So that is what my passion is. My passion is, my goal is that every single student that I teach, I want them to be better than me.
Right.
Some of them try. It's a little stretch. It's a little stretch, but it's a lot of fun trying. But it's a little stretch. But that's my goal, is that I want them to know more than I know.
Right. Now, I know you want to do nothing. I know you're working at doing nothing. But is there
yes.
anything else? Is there anything else with your skill that you haven't done that you would like to do?
Is there anything else that I have not done that I would like to do?
Mm-hmm.
I am a cosmetologist. I knit, I crochet, I embroidery, I cook, I sing, I dance. I just don't swim. Every house pretty much we've owned in the last 15 more years, I've always had a pool. I can swim real good underwater. Other than that, no. But is there anything else that I would like to do other than what I am doing now? And the answer is no. I love what I do. I absolutely love my life. When I get up every morning, the first foot hit the floor is called great, and the second foot hit the floor is called full. I am grateful every single day for what I have. Was this my dream? I don't even know if it was my dream, because I don't think early on I even allowed myself to dream. I just got up every day, and I just went to work. And I just did what I thought I was supposed to do. And it's just lately that I realized that my real skill is to do absolutely nothing. And when I'm not teaching, that's exactly what I do. You'd be shocked and dismayed of how I could just actually turn off. It's like a switch. It's like a switch. But what do you know? What is passion? Passion is a barely controllable desire to do something. And even when I'm trying not to teach, I end up teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Is it, they said, the law of Dharma is to find that one thing that if money was not an object, you would do it. Or if you weren't going to make a single dollar, you would still do it. But the key is, once you find that one thing, you have to then figure out, how can I use this to help someone else? Now, once you figure out how you're going to help someone else with it and you do it, then the money actually will follow. So if you could find, if makeup is what, when you go to bed, it's what you think about. When you wake up in the morning, it's what you think about. Somebody might be talking to you about a car, and next thing you know, you start talking about the color of the car and how nice that color would look on your eye or on somebody else's eye, or how that color,
people don't even want to talk to you anymore because every conversation that they have with you leads into or turn into makeup, then that's your passion. Now, the key is to figure out how you can do it and do it well. So the first thing you have to make sure is that you get training. Now, a lot of people blast YouTube and say they learn so many bad habits on there, but something is better than nothing. It's like my grandmother used to say, hold on to this until that comes. So you use what you have, and hopefully if you're living right and thinking about the right thing and reaching out all the time, you'll find it. You'll find the right person to lead you. You'll find the right person to guide you. And all you have to do is remember your passion and live every single day as if this is the last day that you have.
Got it. So you're on your way to doing nothing.
Absolutely. And I'm going to be awesome at it. How close am I?
Yeah.
Actually, I was real close, and then all of a sudden I was real close, and then I did the conference. And when I did the conference, and when I realized how much people needed something like this, and then on top of it, because it's a certification, the classes are certified, and because of this, I have people now that work pretty much in pretty much all walks of life. I have people that I've trained that are doing television, movies. They're doing all kinds of stuff. And that in itself, but the most fulfilling is when someone who took my class send me, whether it's on Instagram or Facebook or call me or whatever, and say to me, Bontricia, taking the class really, really changed my life. I've been able to do this, and this because of it. Now, that to me is priceless. But I'm really, really not so close to doing this thing anymore. I sold out. I traded in.
How has it changed since you started?
How has the industry changed since I have started? The industry have changed. What changed the industry the most is social media. Social media has changed the industry so much that once upon a time, if you were good, people would know about you. But now you just have to be visible.
Right.
So you, for example, there are people that I taught that right now they're on Instagram and on YouTube and on Facebook. Some of them have 100-something thousand followers. And these are my students. Where if someone look at their numbers, because I'm new to Instagram, so I think I might have, 32 or 3,300 followers in the last couple of weeks is what I got. I got on about 6 weeks ago. So I have maybe about 3,000 and change followers. And my students has 100-something thousand followers on Instagram. So then the average person that's looking at it, look at the numbers and figure because the person have a lot of followers, it means that the person is better. Mm-hmm. And that's how the industry have changed. And that's why I'm saying for people who's been in the industry for a long time and they shine away from social media, what starts happening to you is that people look at numbers and they figure numbers make the person better. They look at Facebook and see all the likes and figure that make the person better. And what the sad thing is, no matter how good you are, if you tell somebody about you and they look you up on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter or something and they don't see you with followers, if nobody else is following you, they're not going to follow you either.
Right.
So they want to follow the masses, and that's how the industry have changed. So it's not about the content anymore and the quality of the work. It's about how many followers the person has. And that's where the industry, because once upon a time, all people, so you used to have the people who owned their business and everybody went there. And then people either work for them, but now social media has changed everything. So you have people now that once upon a time wouldn't even get a voice, but now they have one. Like I had one lady call me yesterday to sign up her daughter for my conference. Now last year I had a young lady that was 14 years old that came from Mexico. Her parents flew her in, came and stayed with her at the hotel, and she came to the conference every single day. She does phenomenal work. Oh, my God, it was so gorgeous. Then this year, I had a call yesterday, and the lady wanted to know, can her daughter come to the conference? I said, how old is she? She said, she's 10. I'm like, well, that's young to teach makeup. She said, but you don't understand. My daughter has been on social, she has her own YouTube channel and has been on it now for 2 years. So I went on and I looked at her channel, and she has several videos, and she calls herself the guru. But she's been now on YouTube now for, I think, a year and a half, almost 2 years. So that's what I've changed. It changed mm-hmm. everything, social media. So once upon a time, people who they just wanted to know how long you've been doing stuff. So you were judged based upon the length of time you've been on the business and who you've done. Now you're judged based upon how many followers you have.
Right.
And that is huge. So even someone as young as 10 commands an audience that some of us old-timers that's been around for a long time and we're trying to ignore social media. And it's not because we don't want to. I think we're afraid. We're afraid that there's something that we don't know, that we're not comfortable with it. Tons of stuff. I still have to have my son show me stuff. I have this fancy phone. I knew how to answer it. I knew how to press the green button and the red button. And little by little, I had to learn how to text. Then I had to learn how to email. Then I had to learn how to copy and paste. And, uh-huh. and little by little, you know, Justin, I know sometimes he's sick of me. What, Mom? Come and show me this. Come and show me that. But, you know, I sent the boy to college. Damn it, you need to show me something. So I think that's the number one thing that is different, is that social media has changed everything. So once upon a time when we actually just had to deal with just people knowing us and people judge you based upon how long you've been in the business and who you've done, now they judge you based upon numbers. And so because you don't have to be good, you just have to have a following, and then people take you seriously. So that in itself, social media is awesome. You can reach people. But then again, that's one of the setbacks of social media.
Right.
Absolutely. What do you think every makeup artist should have in their kit?
What every makeup artist should have in their kit?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The first thing a makeup artist should have in her kit is a pen. Every makeup artist should have makeup for any woman of any color, irregardless of who her clients currently are. Because you're sending a strong message to the universe if all I have is just foundations and stuff for dark-skinned women, the message I'm sending is that that's the only person that I'm looking for or I want. You should have foundation. Choose a good one or two. Choose a good cream foundation, especially a matte one. A cream foundation that's a matte, it's full coverage, it's a total matte finish, and it covers even bad memories. Now, you must have translucent loose powders in there, and you can also have some pressed powders. Now, the translucent loose powders, you can see right through the powder, they're sheer. Most people think translucent means the powder is white. That's not true. Translucent loose powders come, like, for example, I have 22 shades of powder in my makeup case. have 22 mm-hmm. shades of foundation. I have foundations for warms, I have foundations for cools, and I have foundations for neutral. So the message I send out is that my clients are everyone. You first start with who you have, and then you build for who you want to have. You should have good brushes. I know a lot of people are big on sponges, but I'm not a sponge person. I use brushes. Now, all of the major makeup companies have brushes, MAC have brushes, Bobbi Brown, Trish McEvoy, Lancome, Clinique, you name it, they have brushes. They all can't be wrong.
Right.
So you need a good set of brushes. You need an awesome tweezer. These are just some of the few things. You need a moisturizer. Some people come to you, their skin is so dry. When you put your brush on their face, you can actually hear the dryness of the skin. And, you know, and most importantly, have a pen and a piece of paper so you can write things down. And mm-hmm. pretty much those are some of the necessary things that I think everybody should have. But most importantly, you should have a makeup kit. I don't use anything out of my case for my personal use, simply because when I go and I'm ready to work, I want to make sure everything I need is where it should be.
Right.
That's the way that I make my living, so I have to make sure that I'm ready for business every single time I pick that case up.
Absolutely. Now, last and final question, and that
mm-hmm.
is, what is beauty to you?
What is beauty to me? Beauty to me is being so confident in who you are that you don't need validation from anyone when you walk out your door every single day. And I don't care if you're a size 0 or a size 42. Beauty is something you have to know that you know. Beauty is being able to, when you see someone else that's attractive or you see someone else have on a pretty dress or a pretty sweater, that you're confident enough within yourself to tell the person, you are beautiful. Oh, that's a beautiful, your shoes are beautiful. Oh, my God, you have beautiful lips. Oh, my goodness, your eyes are just absolutely to die for. That is beauty. Beauty is when you can actually share who you are without any reservation whatsoever, telling someone else that they look absolutely fabulous and just moving on from there. That I call true beauty.
There you go. I would agree 100%. Well, we thank you so much for joining us. Maybe my sister and I may catch you in Orlando, maybe.
Yes, ma'am.
We may catch you in Orlando, and we're looking forward to hearing more about, you know, all the other things that you have going on. Just keep us posted as to how things are going.
Sounds like a plan.
If you have any of your events that you would like us to announce or anything like that, just let me know.
Sounds like a plan.
All right. Thank you
so very much. You ladies have been awesome. I was supposed to be on here for an hour. It's now going on an hour and a half. Can you believe they used to, when I was little, they used to beat me and tell me I talk too much. Now I actually get paid to talk.
You get paid to talk.
Now they pay me to talk. But it's been awesome, you guys. I thank you so very much, and stay blessed.
All right, you too. Have a good
day. All right, bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. Thank you guys for tuning in and listening. If you have a comment about tonight's show, go out and make a comment right here on our Blog Talk Radio profile, or you can mark it as a favorite. You can also go out to our Facebook page and leave us a comment there as well. And you can follow us on Facebook. We are Beauty Talk Online Radio on Facebook. On Twitter, we're Beauty_Talk. And on Instagram, we're Beauty_Talk_Media. And for those of you who have BBM, and for those of you who don't have BBM, go out to BBM.com, download it to your smartphone. Doesn't matter if you have a BlackBerry iPhone or Android phone, you can download BBM. It's a wonderful way to communicate, to keep in touch,
And you can follow the Beauty Talk channel, and the PIN number for the Beauty Talk channel is C as in Charlie, 002, E as in Edward, B as in Boy, 072. Again, it's C002, EB072. That's the PIN number for the Beauty Talk channel on BDN.
All right, everybody. So until next week. Oh, next week our guest is Ricky Wilson. So please join us then next week. And until then, have a beautiful and blessed week. Good night.
Good night.